one of the things we have to do is we got a lot of work to do. And one of the things I want you all to do, sure, I want you to buy the book to get the info, but I want you to go to my website, www.gregpalast.com. GregPalast.com. The reason I want you to go there is that I want you to sign up so you can get notices of the continuing story of what's happening to Tundu Lisu. With the light on, they're not going to kill him, okay? It's that simple. Because there's many fronts here. It's all one war. It's the money wars. And sometimes the front lines in Baghdad and sometimes the front lines in Tanzania or Venezuela or Buckhead, okay? We have to keep meeting like this and may have to be electronically, all right? So I want you to do that. But I was telling you this is about Atlanta. I said this is an Atlanta story tonight. Only one congressperson took on that issue of Tundu Lisu and began an international campaign to help him stay alive. That was Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, okay? And she threatened to reopen her investigation of Barrick gold mining. And she knew that that meant taking on the Bush family. But there was another part of the story in the New York Times that I found fascinating. In the Times article, which included the completely fabricated quote about McKinney and then said she was a loony, it said, then she was abandoned by the black leadership of Atlanta. And by that, they didn't mean MLK3, because he's told me he didn't do that. Julian Bond said, I don't get involved in election races. What they meant was two people, Vernon Jordan, former native son here, and Andy Young had abandoned her. Had switched position, Young being the most formidable and notable switch from support to attack. I was interested in that because one thing that the New York Times left out, and unfortunately for Cynthia, she didn't know, is that when George Bush left, when his son ran for president, because it was embarrassing to be on Barrick's board, he was replaced by Andy Young, okay? And already been there with Bush was Vernon Jordan. And the New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, didn't see fit to print that. And the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I just talked to them about this. Why haven't you run this story? So we have to keep asking that question. And thank God for Creative Loafing for running that story. And for WRFG for broadcasting that story. And we will, under endless threat, by the way, every outlet who's run the story so far, and I'm sure John will be getting his letter, gets the threat of a massive lawsuit for just telling the story. I just wanted to add one thing, because I realized you might be asking why, because I'm always asked here, and I was asked by several of your radio stations here, why, if this company, Choice Point, helped fix the vote in Florida, we never heard it on your radio or TV stations. And I said, well, you almost did. CBS News said that they wanted the story from me. They called up, Dan Rather's operation called up and said, boy, that's a cool story about getting rid of all those black voters. Can you give us part of the story? I said, sure. They said, we want something new. I said, okay, here it is. Not just Catherine Harris is involved. Jeb Bush's office got involved. Jeb Bush, 6 weeks before the election, wrote a letter. His office wrote a letter saying, do not register. It was over 50,000 voters affected, almost all Democrats. It's a little complex. Ooh, as soon as I said complex, like CBS, whew. I said, don't worry, Dan can read it off the cards. But it comes down to 50,000 voters barred who are legal voters. And Bush's office knew this was, you can't do this, that this violated two court orders. Just get that letter, dated September 18th, 2000. And you got it, because see, the letter had been read to me by two sources, but I didn't have the physical letter, okay? They're too scared to send it, fax it. A week goes by, and I called CBS and said, what happened to the story? Greg, your story didn't stand up. This is what I hear from these guys all the time, right? Okay, well, hey, listen, the multi-billion-dollar hotshot CBS News operation, what method did they use to find out that the story didn't stand up? I'm interested. Okay, I don't get them all right. That's part of the danger of investigative reporting. Sometimes it doesn't work. So I said, what did you do to find out the story didn't stand up? And they said, well, we called Jeb Bush's office. And you know what? His office denied it. Said the letter didn't exist. That was it. Believe it or not, BBC thought we ought to continue looking. We had a little trouble getting that letter out of that office until I got a letter at Harper's Magazine from one Catherine Harris, who just wrote this long, long screed saying, Greg Palast is twisted and maniacal. She said, but she didn't say I was wrong. She said, yeah, we knocked off thousands of black voters, but hey, it was, you know, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. Everyone told me to do it. The attorney general told me to do it. The legislature told me to do it. And I got a letter from the governor's office. Ooh. So I called up Kate's office and said, hey, your secretary of state has sent me a letter saying that she got a letter from the governor and I want to discuss it with her. I'm sure she want me to see it. Could you look in her files and see if you can find it for me? I think that the letter, it's about felon voters and removing voters from the voter rolls and letting them, you know, and I said, and I'm pretty sure the letter is dated September 18th, 2000. And 10 minutes later in my fax machine, Dan. So there it is. So I'll let you go. What I want to do is I'm going to sign every, I'll answer all your questions back there. I'll take all time as needed. I'll sign all the books you want. I also have some, just a few copies that videotape. I think it's $20 or something. We'll raise some money for some groups here. And we got to keep meeting like this. And I really want to thank Creative Loafing, John Sugg, Chris Heller, and the activists and people of Atlanta. I will be back. Thanks. And the AJC. They owe me dinner.